You guys are prophets. Look, the storm passed over. It's not raining anymore. You guys are really, really good. Let me tell you something. This is a spirit-led group up here. I tell you, it is powerful. Very, very powerful. We are very blessed. Thank you. Thank you very much. Have you ever noticed that for some people, the Bible is a book filled with rules that they like to use to determine who's in and who's out? Have you ever noticed how people do that? Did you know how many times people how ridiculous sometimes they can sound? Apparently, according to Exodus 21:7, Diana and I could have sold our daughter into slavery. Could have probably made some pretty good money. She's pretty smart. Andreas, you're safe. It doesn't say anything about sons. Yeah. According to Exodus 35:2, if your neighbor's working on the Sabbath, you're supposed to kill him. Yeah. Well, it's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. And don't even get me started about the book of Leviticus.
No.
Everything from male haircuts to wearing polyester cotton blends. You are just sinners. You need to know that. In Kentucky, when I was in seminary, in Kentucky, there was a student church where they had communion and then they had the sermon, which was fine. Some churches do that. That's fine. But in this particular church, they would have communion, then they would sing a hymn, and then everybody would walk out. And you're thinking, isn't there going to be a sermon? That's it? No, 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 just wait, just wait. And they would walk out, stand around for a little bit, and then they'd come back in and sit down, and then there'd be the sermon. And if you ask the elders about that after the worship service, they would tell you, well, according to Matthew and Mark, after the Lord's Supper, they sang a hymn and went out. This is a Bible-believing church. You're no, like, my land. I was so glad they weren't my assigned church. I was like, I don't think I could do that. Some of you may have grown up in churches where divorced people. Ooh, divorced people. Nope. They couldn't serve as deacons. Couldn't serve as Sunday school teachers. Couldn't be on the church board, let alone in ministry. I grew up in a church where women couldn't serve as deacons. Now, we're not doing the deacon thing the way we used to do it right now because of the COVID, but they couldn't actually pass the emblems. They were called deaconesses.
Yes.
And they were allowed, special permission, of course, they were allowed to be the ones that prepared all the bread. And back in my day, we had little glass cups. And they could fill up the cups, and they were the ones who had to collect all the cups and wash them out and scrub them out with soap and water. And they were allowed to do that, but the Greek word is diakonos, and it's not gender specific. You see how ridiculous we sound when we try to look at the Bible and find a role? What about all the different taboos we've had to deal with? And the history of the church. You look at the history of the church, the racial taboos. I already mentioned the divorce taboos, the gender taboos, the sexual orientation taboos. There's a lot of taboos, and when people want to twist it and turn it and make it into something that they are more comfortable with. One of the things way back again when I was in seminary, women in ministry. There was the women in ministry taboo. Now, we were trying to push past that. We were trying, in my seminary, we were past that. But that didn't mean that the churches were receiving of that. And they would always look, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, women must keep silence in the churches. Have you ever read the Gospels? Because Jesus, you can argue with Jesus. I do it. Jesus, the very first day of the resurrection, that morning, Jesus sent a woman to the disciples who are locked up all fear. They'd still be locked up. The very first Easter evangelist was a woman. Called, ordained, empowered by Jesus. We get ourselves so twisted sometimes when we try to make the Bible all about rules. When we look at the Bible for rules and we forget. Every time we try to exclude people, even in those days. Remember, Jesus got in trouble all the time. Because what? He was eating with sinners. People who others said don't belong in the kingdom of God. They don't even belong at the table. And here's Jesus showing up and saying, I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. I'm all right with it. It can be confusing when we look at the Bible to only find rules instead of looking at the Bible to find out who God is and what God is doing. To be aware that God works through the Holy Spirit, opening windows of grace that allow God's love and grace to be known and celebrated in ways that will absolutely amaze us. That he was a God-fearer. And if you were a God-fearer back in those days, that meant that even if you were a Gentile, you still believed in Israel's God. He believed in the one and only God. It's just he wasn't circumcised. And he didn't follow their dietary laws. And so you weren't supposed to be with him. You weren't supposed to be together. And, you know, that's the way it was in those days. That's their rules. That's the rules that the Jews had. You can't eat with Gentiles because Gentiles eat bacon. They have shrimp. They have cheeseburgers. And so that was their rule. That was their law. Not only could Jews not eat those things, they couldn't eat with people who did eat those things. They couldn't even be around those things. They couldn't have them at the table. They couldn't have them in the kitchen. They couldn't have them in the house. They had rules. And we could laugh at those rules if we want to, but I just gave you a whole bunch of rules that we had. It's amazing the way we can do that. Anyways, Cornelius is in Caesarea. An angel comes to him and speaks with him and tells him, send for Peter, the fisherman, the disciple. He's over there in Joppa. You send for Peter. Joppa's a seaport. You send for him. Okay. It's a 30, 40 mile trip from Caesarea to Joppa. That is a long... They didn't have automobiles. They didn't have trains. They didn't have buses. You know what they had? They had roads and sandals and feet. That's a long way. And they make it by the next day. These guys are in pretty darn good shape. Or they had horses. Anyways, God has sent a vision to Cornelius and told Cornelius, get Peter. He's in Joppa. Peter is in Joppa. And some of you, those of you who have studied the Bible and come to my Bible study classes and do all this hard work, you know, you're going to say, I've heard of that place. It's not as famous as Paris, but I've heard of that place. And you're going to remember, where was it that I heard about that place? Oh, yeah. Jonah. Remember when Jonah... God told Jonah, I want you to preach to the Ninevites. I want you to go to the Ninevites. I want you to save the Ninevites. And what does Jonah say? I don't think so. I don't like those people. And where does Jonah go? He goes to Joppa. It's a seaport, remember? He gets in a big fish. I mean, he gets in a boat. All right, why? Because he doesn't agree with God's vision of a big tent. So he gets in a boat and gets what? He ends up getting swallowed by a big fish. Choice is yours. Believe in the big tent or get swallowed by a big fish. Now we find Peter. in that same town. And God comes to him with a vision and shows him how inclusive God's love is meant to be, how inclusive God's kingdom is meant to be. And at first, Peter's resisting, but you know, with Peter, it always takes three times. Have you noticed that with Peter? He's one of the, okay, hey, I'm in that group. I'm usually like 30 times. It takes me a long time before I learn something. But Peter finally gets the lesson. All right, I understand. Your tent's bigger than my vision, and I need to go with your plan. And in our passage, there's Peter, and he goes up to Caesarea, and he gets there, and all of a sudden he's getting the EBGBs. Because he's afraid he might catch cooties. Because it was fine that he was supposed to just see Cornelius. But by the time he gets to Cornelius' house, the whole house is crawling with Gentiles. There's Gentiles everywhere. Gentiles in the rafters, Gentiles over here, Gentiles over there. Because why? Because Cornelius put the word out. All of his family came. All of his friends came. The place is packed with Gentiles. And then there's Peter thinking, ooh, I don't know. That's the first thing that Peter sees. All these people who don't belong. And the very first thing Peter says is, you know it is unlawful for me as a Jew to be with you. And you can hear how they heard that word, you. And you can imagine maybe they roll their eyes and shuffle in their feet and they go, here we go again. Oh, we're not as good as the Jews. Oh, we don't belong. Except for Peter doesn't stop there. In that same sentence, Peter says, but. And in that but, God's grace is revealed. Have you ever noticed how that works? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but. And what's the name of that song?
Amazing Grace.
There you go. Amazing Grace. And Peter continues on and says, but God has shown me that there is no partiality. There is no division. There is no separation. God has shown me. And he continues his sermon. And the Holy Spirit comes down upon that group of Gentiles. Those bacon, shrimp, cheeseburger-eating Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. And they start praising God. And they're speaking in tongues. And Peter says, where's the water? We're having a baptism. And right then and there, without any permission from anyone, outside of God, Peter opens the door of the church. Everybody come in. All the income free. Everybody. Peter understood everybody means everybody. And he invites everybody to come in. And there's a big baptism service going on. But now, like I said, Peter didn't quote any scripture and he didn't get any permission from the Jerusalem council. And you know how it can be, how word travels fast. Word traveled to Jerusalem, not that the Holy Spirit came on Gentiles, not that Gentiles were praising God, not that what they heard was Peter ate with Gentiles. You ate with them. They send word. What's this we hear? And that's where our passage comes. What's this we hear about you eating with them? You see how it is? They didn't hear any of the good stuff. They only heard the one negative thing that they thought was negative. So Peter shows up. And Peter says, hey, look, I'm just as prejudiced as you all. But if God tells me, then what am I supposed to do? Otherwise, I'm going to be opposing God. I'm not about to oppose God. And he explains it step by step, not in a way that's holier than thou. He does it by sitting in the pew with them and saying, I'm the same way. I used to think the same way. I used to believe the same way. I used to act the same way. I used to be just as closed-minded, hard-hearted as you. But then God comes in, and what are you going to do when God starts doing stuff? Kind of got to go with it. kind of got to go with it. Look, we can make our dividing lines if we want to. But God's going to erase it every single time. We can try to exclude people if we want to. But God is going to invite them in all the time. And not only that, God is going to invite us. Even when we're being closed-minded and bigoted and hard-hearted, God's not saying, well, you got to sit over in the corner until you figure it out. No. God says, you come here. We're going to figure it out together. You can try to use the Bible as a list of rules. But God's Spirit's going to blow through these pages, and it's going to blow through your heart, and you're going to experience the love of God in a way that will absolutely change your life. If you look at the history of the church, every time we've tried to exclude people, we've been wrong. Every time. You've heard it 1,000 times. The church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And we all are sinners. We're not in charge. We don't get to make the rules. And if we try to, God's going to break them. It just isn't going to work that way. Our job is not to try to control the Spirit. Our job is to try to catch up to it. Keep up with it as it blows through the winds of God's grace, as it gives to us a new vision of what can be. Because following God is way more important than following our rules. Amen. Amen.